In this episode of Tim Talk, Tim sits down with Northern Light Health's Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion.
Thank you for joining us for Tim Talk. I'm Tim Dentry, President and CEO of Northern Light Health. Through this podcast, we hope to break down barriers, embrace diversity, and focus on issues of racial, social, and medical justice. We want to listen and learn by tapping into the many voices of diversity that we have across our healthcare system and our state. This podcast provides a forum for our listeners to share an experience of growth toward a culture of Northern Light that cares for one another. Our guest today is Marwa Hassanin, Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion for Northern Light Health. Marwa has a strong background in education and most recently served as adjunct faculty at University of Maine and Eastern Maine Community College. Marwa holds a Master's of Education in Curriculum, Assessment, and Instruction, also a Master of Science in Linguistics, and is DEI, that is short for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, certified by Yale School of Management and Cornell University. She is currently a doctoral student in literacy education at UMaine. Marwa, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Tim.
Absolutely. So, you know, we're going to get into your role here at Northern Light Health as Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in a second. And I just want to share with our listening audience how just grateful I am that you're part of our team. I could not believe our good fortune when we set out on our journey of really being transparent and really taking a stand and being with people on matters of diversity, equity, inclusion. And we said to ourselves, okay, we're setting a high standard. We're proclaiming a lot. Who's going to help us do all this work? Because it's multifaceted and the angels are in the details. And so next thing you know, Paul Bolin says to me that someone applied for that position and now you're on our team. And I thank you for that so much. Could you share a little with us about yourself and what drew you to Maine and Northern Light Health?
Sure. Thank you, Tim. And I am very honored and humbled to be part of the Northern Light Health family. I'm a first-generation American and daughter of Egyptian parents who came to the U.S. in search of the American dream. My approach to DEI is very much in line with my unique and diverse background. I'm not only an educator, but I'm also a Muslim American who is bilingual and bicultural, daughter of immigrants. I'm also married to a physician who was a previous J-1 visa holder who came to Bangor due to its status being a medically underserved area. So I thoroughly understand how unconscious biases, discrimination, and microaggressions often manifest themselves in our society, sadly. I can easily see things from different perspectives and angles and through a DEI lens. I consider myself an ambassador and a champion of this great work being done here at Northern Light Health to embrace, promote, and advance social, racial, and medical justice, as you've highlighted, Tim, in order to forge a path towards equity throughout our state.
Thank you, Marwa. And I can absolutely just add to that, if I may take that liberty to do so, is, again, for our listeners, you've done that with such a caring style. And that's what I think you bring so much, that's such a great fit. So could you share with our listeners more about your role here as Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion and what you would like to accomplish? What's your vision?
Absolutely. Oftentimes there is discomfort when engaging in meaningful dialogue, but we must get comfortable with being uncomfortable to address underlying systemic issues relating to bias, inequity, and racism. I truly enjoy hosting our foundational DEI educational and discussion series and being on the DEI Council alongside you and our colleagues and ensuring patient and staff satisfaction. I want us to broaden our horizons, challenge our assumptions, and foster learning together as an organization. Everyone here should feel respected, valued, included, and empowered.
Very good. You know, what really struck a chord with me with what you just said was be comfortable being uncomfortable. And I can remember several occasions when I would be asked to speak on behalf of Northern Light Health and what is our position on diversity, equity, and inclusion and medical justice, et cetera, by our physician leaders and others, and as well as when we first formed our DEI council that you were a part of from all across Northern Light Health. And I remember stating, and I still feel strongly about that to this day, that I want to be uncomfortable for a long time. And by that, I mean that I don't want to feel in such a comfort zone that, oh, we've got this, or heaven forbid, we don't have any issues to deal with, or we don't have people to listen to, or understand how people have felt when they've been on the receiving end of microaggressions, et cetera. I always want to feel just a little bit uncomfortable of, are we continuing to do the right thing? And that includes listening to all voices, as you and I have been talking about. Everyone, you know, we have 12,500 colleagues and their families. So 45,000 or so is in what I consider to be the Northern Light family. And we wouldn't permit any acts of doing anything other than treating absolutely every family member as part of the family.
Absolutely.
And so absolutely, that's what this entire movement, I'll call it a movement, is all about.
Yes. And I love how you remind us to be uncomfortable, and we never want to get to the point of just being comfortable.
Yes. So in addition to all of the excellent work you're doing with education and awareness, and I really appreciate that, and I know that a lot of our staff have participated in that. We also have an exciting provider anti-discrimination policy. Let me pause on that for our listeners and give a bit of background. So when we started this whole journey for diversity, equity, and inclusion, I started with multiple forums of listening sessions. And it would be, you know, people that joined our team within the last however many years, or different geographic areas, different backgrounds, different, you know, all sorts of diversity of people that I listened to. And that was one of the examples that I heard loud and clear from our staff, was that a lot of times they were treated with less than respect by the patients and families they're caring for. And to the point where they would expect to have, you know, a different caregiver just because of their heritage, religious background, ethnic background, color, et cetera. And I remember talking to the leaders of Mass General Hospital, we have a clinical affiliation with, and I said, what do you all do about that? I didn't expect that there would be much that they would say. They have a very pronounced, profound policy of, we don't accept that. And we're going to show our staff that we have their back. And so that's why we did this. So I probably gave away a little bit of what you're going to describe, but I thought that was one of the good things that we started off with right off the bat. So why don't you share with our listeners how it was, pick up the story from where I just left off and what you're doing to raise awareness about it.
Sure. You know, and you're absolutely right, Tim. It was clear that we really needed a core belief embedded system-wide and a system-wide policy. And this great work was done to create the policy. It was reviewed by our legal team. And then Dr. Marwaha, our chief quality officer, and I worked together to continue to make improvements to it before it was finally approved by our DEI council. We've had system-wide training for all our leaders who were rolling it out to their staff members. We explain the rights patients have and do not have, which includes disrespecting the rights of other patients, families, and staff. We do not accept requests for substitution of care from providers or workforce members, as you described, based on social identity characteristics of race and national origin, gender identity, disability, age, or sexual orientation. We understand that discriminatory statements often come from a place of fear and lived experiences, but it does not make them acceptable, of course. We have a zero tolerance policy that we are committed to as an organization, and we make it clear that discrimination and prejudice have no place here. Policies such as this one are truly an important part of our culture of caring and caring for one another.
Great. Thank you. And you know, it's also an example of actions that we are taking. Again, I'm reflecting back so much on the early days of this journey when people said, Tim, put out a statement of, you know, what we're for and that kind of thing, equal treatment of all people, et cetera. And then, you know, one follow up from one of our colleagues was, so what are you going to do about it? So I think, you know, it's one thing to put out statements, but it's another thing to do things, put them into action. And so I'm glad that you highlighted that example. So Marwa, you joined us after we started the beginning of the Tim Talk podcast, but you've absolutely added your talents and expertise, and I can always count on you helping us with the quality of these Tim Talks because it's very important to all of us. I would like our listeners to know that you were on the editorial team for Tim Talk, therefore, obviously, and you help us generate the content, find guests, and the like. I think we have something interesting, I hope. The listeners believe so, over the next 2 weeks. Do you want to share a bit about that?
Absolutely. You know, and I have to say, it has been so much fun working with this wonderful team, and I'm extremely grateful to be part of this great project. Today's episode will mark the 24th episode produced to date. We have covered issues such as microaggressions, medical justice based on race, ethnicity, and LGBTQ plus status. We explored the history of systemic racism in medicine, and we tackled the stigma of domestic violence. There's so much more, and here's just a sample.
Domestic violence doesn't discriminate in terms of socioeconomic class. I think for me, people who didn't know that I had been in a domestic violence situation would say, gee, I never knew that you were in that situation.
Smudging is a part of healthcare. Having elders involved is a part of healthcare. Incorporating language. I consult to the Wabanaki Health and Wellness MAT program. And one of the most popular groups for their MAT patients is beading group, because everyone wants to bead. And it's amazing what people talk about while they're doing things with their hands.
Today we're going to talk really about medical justice. And when you're talking about justice, you're really referring to the element of fairness when a physician or a provider, any provider, is making a medical decision. And these involve the fair distribution of scarce resources, new treatments, fairness in the decisions that you make for surgeries or procedures, and also at the same time, you have to uphold the applicable laws and legislations that you work within. So when you look at healthcare, Black patients are usually more likely to experience more complications than white patients.
For the final two episodes of Tim Talk, we are putting together a highlight reel of some of the best and most memorable moments from our first year. For regular listeners, it's an opportunity to catch up on some of the most critical points and perhaps hear some things that you might have missed the first time. And for our new listeners, it's a great way to get a summary of the year's discussions. Although we really encourage you to go back and listen to all the full episodes, which can be found at northernlighthealth.org/podcast.
Thank you so much, Marwa. Is there anything else you would like to share at this point?
I would just like to thank you for being at the helm of this wonderful work. You know, even prior to me joining Northern Light Health, a team and family, I've heard so many wonderful things about your work and your commitment to DEI. And I really want to say thank you for all of this amazing work that you're doing.
But my pleasure, and thank you for being part of the team. So Marwa, thanks for sharing so much about the work you and the DEI Council are doing. And thank you, our podcast listeners, as well, as always. Until next time, I'm Tim Dentry, encouraging you to listen and act to promote our culture of caring, diversity, and inclusion, caring for one another. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tim Talk. If you enjoyed this podcast, please join us again June 10th for our next episode, which will begin a two-part series of some of the best moments of the first year of Tim Talk.